Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realize this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The big question du jour, which is also the big question of the day.
I'll have that.
Says who? This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've heard the tale told from Great Britain, the nation whose empire was really built on something called, what is the name? The Bible, using biblical ideas for government, for justice, for families. I'm not saying everybody was a Christian, but I am saying the Bible informed their worldview, which helped them to establish a rather successful empire. Similarly, in America, certainly not all Christians were founders with the intention that everybody in this country has to be a Christian. Nevertheless, biblical ideals were used to build what we would have to say is the single greatest society that we human beings have been able to put together since the fall. Well, that appears to be changing. A Christian doctor, we've heard this fellow interviewed, seems like a nice enough man, 56 years old, Dr. David McCareth. You say McCareth, I say McCareth. He was working at the National Health Service, fired from the Department for Work and Pensions because he would not use a transgender pronoun, saying he believes gender is defined by biology and genetics, and the Bible teaches us that God made humans male or female. Oh, the nerve. He was fired. He took it to court. The decision was rendered. If you have not heard this yet, sit down, brace yourself. The tribunal wrote in its decision, Ken Ham is apoplectic over this. Belief in Genesis 1:27, God made the male, female, male and female created he them. Lack of belief in transgenderism and conscientious objection to transgenderism in our judgment. Sorry, I've read this multiple times and it still causes me to lose my breath. Incompatible with human dignity.
Wow.
And conflict with the fundamental rights of others, specifically here, transgender individuals. Hello. Has society changed? Oh, yeah. What is, however, the biblical explanation for what is happening here? Why is this going down? Is this an issue about, in America, Second Amendment rights? Yes, it is. Is this an issue in Great Britain for employment law, freedom of speech? Yeah, it's all of that, but it's a whole lot more. It happens to be a theme that is replete in the Bible. What we are seeing happening with this Christian doctor, the tribunal that said Genesis 1:27, in other words, the Bible is incompatible with human dignity, is a debate over one question. Says who? That is the debate. It is an issue of authority, and that happens to be one of the threads that weaves its way throughout the tapestry of the Bible. There are many threads that we see in the scripture. There's the scarlet thread, the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, foreshadowed all throughout the Old Testament. That's a thread. You even see certain subjects consistent throughout the Bible. Trees, for instance. And you wouldn't want to start a denomination over it, but that's what you see in the Bible. Trees. In the beginning, there were two trees. Don't eat this one. They did. We see Jesus hung on a tree. In Revelation 22, we see that, what do you know, there's going to be two trees and a river, and God is going to dwell with his people. We see themes, and one of the themes that we see throughout the Bible that is unmistakable is the debate over says who. This is an issue of authority. How you choose to engage, obviously up to you, but I would like to suggest that we Christians remember what is really going on here, as our culture is determining that we are incompatible with human dignity. Wow. What do we say? How do we respond? What is the issue? Let me take you to the Bible. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, we see that God created everything. And then in the rest of the Old Testament, God uses the term, "Thus saith the Lord," through his prophets 700 times. 700 times. This is what I say. And so many of the stories in the Bible are man's response. No, I say. We say. We prefer our way. We are the ones who are going to determine what is true, what is right, what is good, what is proper. Human beings say who. And it's the first scene that we see in the Bible, Genesis 3, 1 through 7. "Indeed," asked the serpent, "has God really said?" There it is right there. And that, by the way, is not just a battle in culture. That is a battle in your heart and my heart. Says who? Who am I going to listen to when I'm watching TV? Who am I going to listen to when I'm spending my money? Who am I going to listen to when I'm discipling my children? Who am I going to listen to? Myself, the world, Dr. Phil, Oprah, or God? This is the issue, really, in just about every situation. It's not just what's going on in Great Britain and Western civilization. This is very personal. Am I going to submit to God? Do I bend the knee to him? Or do I point at his throne and say, "You're sitting in my chair. You just scoot right off there, and I'll jump right on." That's what culture is doing right now. They're kicking against the goads. "Indeed, has God really said?" What do we learn from that story, which is historically accurate? The devil's modus operandi: God can't be trusted. Satan can be trusted. Man, self, is the highest arbiter of what is good and right and correct. God withholds good things from us. Forbidden things are good things. Forbidden things won't hurt you. And this is a play on man's desire to be the supreme authority in everything, promising that man will know true joy and real happiness. Kick God off the throne, and we get to write the rules. And guess who those rules favor? Me and my flesh. That is what is going on in Great Britain. That is what is going on in America. It's what's going on in Canada, Australia, Western civilization as a whole. It is no longer God and the Bible that says who regarding issues of pronouns, genders, marriage constructions. No. We say, that's what's going on. This is an authority issue. Will it be God or will it be man? It's been raging. Consider Noah and the ark. Men follow themselves. They live their own way unless God intervenes and saves them. Consider Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. We desire to be God. We're going to build a tower right up to heaven, and we're going to sit on the throne. This is an issue of authority that's going on. Consider Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5. It took 10, count them, 10 plagues for this man to say, "Fine, God says then." And even then, he sent his army chasing after him until they were wiped out. This was an issue of authority. Moses threatened on the authority of God, "Do this because God said so." Nope, don't think so. Man is determined to do what he wants. You get shellacked repeatedly, but still prefer self over bending the knee to God. You'll let millions of people perish before you will bend the knee, and maybe not even then. Leviticus 10. This is how you worship. You don't use strange fire. Nadab and Abihu, they use strange fire. Consider the entire book of Judges. That is the says who book. There wasn't a king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. will decide what's right. And let me tell you something. If you think what is going on in Western civilization has gotten nasty, we ain't seen nothing yet. As you read through the book of Judges, got to remember the theme the whole way. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see a descent from one act of depravity to another. Wait, it can't get worse. Oh, it just got worse. Oh, it's got worse than that. Oh, what? And the conclusion, a long story about a concubine being cut up into bits, is shocking. Are we there yet? No. Are we on our way? Yes, we are. Why? Because our culture reflects and resembles the culture in the book of Judges. We don't want God to say who. We want to determine that which is right in our own eyes. And that is what we are seeing played out in our culture today. As you see these stories of these liberal politicians, they want socialism. Yeah, it's about that, and that's a bad idea. But it's about more than that. The worldview behind it is the worldview that answers the question, says who? Says me. So now we Christians are confronted with another question. As the world is kicking God off of his throne to be the ones who say who, what, why, and when, how will we respond? Next on Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here and listening to Wretched Radio today. May I share with you a very neat email from Matt? He's from the Baltimore area. Said, just wanted to drop a quick note of thanks from this longtime listener, supporter, original member of the Wretched Club, and Psalm 119 attendee. Wowzers, you have been around a long time, Matt. He said, God graciously saved me in 2008 and used Way of the Master /Wretched as a tool to help fashion a biblical worldview. Matt goes on to say that he's used our resources like The Joy in the Home Bundle, Herman Who, It's Not Greek to Me, along with Terrified and the Drive-By resources to equip him to proclaim and defend the truth of God. And most recently, he said, I was given the noble task of elder. Thanks for all you have done for the kingdom, least of all me, Matt. We truly appreciate you sharing that with us. If you have a wretched story to share, idea@wretched.org. If you'd like to support us and help make more wretched stories like that possible, wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Forget the power of cheese. The power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charged for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway, so she wanted to abort. Presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door still abortion-minded with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
The engine light turning on in your car. Forgetting to pay a bill. Not having don't stub your toe to give out to children on Halloween. These are all very scary things, but we can at least help you with that last one. Halloween is right around the corner, and that means it's the perfect opportunity to share the gospel with your neighbors. This year, while you pass out the candy to the kids coming to your door, also give them a copy of Don't Stub Your Toe. I mean, come on, they are literally coming right to your door. It doesn't get any easier than that. Unless, of course, they walk up and directly ask you, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? But they hardly ever do that, do they? Visit wretched.org/toe now and order your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe so you're stocked up for Halloween trick-or-treaters. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Get your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe today at wretched.org/toe. Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough, long gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to Scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You probably didn't know this.
Probably.
This is Wretched Radio. Did you know that math is actually racist? That's right. Math is now racist. Why?
Numbers.
Numbers are now racist. There's some people, what do you know, out on the West Coast who have written a new curriculum for the kids. I believe it's 6th to 8th grade.
Of course.
Telling them that math is actually racist. How? Why? Well, it was basically, not entirely, but basically a group of white people who concocted the idea of math, put together these different theorems, and all they've done is impose their mathematical views on the rest of society. From the Daily Wire, Seattle Public Schools, course for K through 12 students titled Math, Ethnic Studies. Math, Ethnic Studies. Essential questions students are asked. Here are just a few. What is my mathematical identity? I got to learn it, otherwise I don't pass. That's pretty much my identity. Is there an authority for math knowledge? What? In other words, what they're starting to hint at is math only has authority based on the people who have written the current math rules. Should they really be the ones who have determined what is mathematically correct or not? What? Question from the curriculum. How important is it to be right? What is right? Get ready for this. Quote, says who? There it is again. Our culture is moving so fast and so far away from God, it is actually questioning the authority of math. Now, on the one hand, we recognize that's preposterous. Might I suggest, however, on the other hand, I'm okay with it. Let's answer that question. Because I would tell you it is not white man who is the authority in math. I wouldn't tell you it is a black or yellow or red or polka-dotted person who is the authority in math. God is the one who gives numbers value. God is the one who makes sure that different mathematical formulas work the same way every single time. How can we make such a bodacious claim if there is not a standard, an unmoved mover, one who is constant, who has no shifting shadows, who never changes? Then this world would be a perpetual flux, and there would be no mathematical equations if God did not exist. Unfortunately, we know that's not what they're after. Nevertheless, I'll answer the question. Says who? The answer when it comes to math? God. When it comes to empirical science, not historical science, but empirical science, who says? Answer, God. Our culture is so profoundly confused, it is actually starting to question who is the authority in math? It literally says, how important is it to be right? Well, maybe we could have that debate. I'll tell you what. Why don't you get into your car that was put together by somebody who didn't think that our current math symbols actually represented something constant? And you drive over that bridge that was designed by somebody who's changed all of the ideas because they didn't like the idea of apparently white men coming up with these mathematical formulas and numbers and symbols. And you just, once you get there, we'll answer then the question, says who? They're trying to undermine the authority of math? No, this is an undermining of the authority of God. That is what is going on with the Seattle Public Schools. That God does not exist, therefore it is an arbitrary system that a particular skin-colored people created called math. And now we can change it all because we know that white people have been repressive with mathematics. That's what this goes on to say. If you don't believe me, here's from the article, which is just jaw-dropping. Students will be able to analyze the ways in which ancient mathematical knowledge has been appropriated by Western culture, and to identify and explain how math and other sciences have been, quote, used to oppress and marginalize people and communities of color. I know that math is oppressive because I had to study it, but that's not what they mean. They mean it is a way for a particular skin color to oppress another skin color. See, we've got these mathematical formulas, they're ours, and if you don't know them, well, you're not going to succeed in culture, or something like that. Further, students will be able to critique systems of power that deny access to mathematical knowledge to people and communities of color. Identify the inherent inequities of the standardized testing system used to oppress and marginalize people and communities of color. Explain how math has been used to exploit natural resources and explain how math dictates economic oppression. Are you following along with the logic? No, you're not, because it's entirely illogical. What is underneath all of this? They asked the question that the devil has been asking from the beginning. Says who? Really? Did God really say that? What did the devil do with Jesus Christ in the wilderness? Didn't God say? How's about you do this? I'll give you that. It's all about undermining the authority of God to lead us away from trusting in him and trusting the Lord and trusting the devil. That is what is at play here. It is what is at play in Great Britain as the tribunal that determined the Christian doctor who worked at the National Health Services for 30 years, who refused to use transgender patients' preferred pronouns. He was believing in a system, Genesis 1:27 in particular, that's incompatible with human dignity, quote. What's going on? Who's the authority when it comes to gender issues? Man is saying, not God, us. We are. When it comes to math, whoa. Who are these white people, they're not the ones who are going to dictate what math is. We're all going to create mathematical formulas and determine what is right for ourselves. That's what they're after. Quote, who gets to say if an answer is right? Can you recognize and name oppressive mathematical practices in your experience? We all get to determine what is correct in math. What's really going on? Says who? Are there constants in the universe? Are there laws that operate and run the place that give us consistent outcomes in laboratories with mathematical formulas? Man's answer is no. And so the same question is at stake here. Says who? This is an authority issue. And while we look at this and go, well, that's kind of bonkers, we ain't seen nothing yet. Just for yucks, let me take you now to the book of Judges. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. In other words, not says God, says our culture. No, says every individual. We'll determine it. A Levite marries a concubine. She was unfaithful to him, ran away to Bethlehem. He went after her to bring her home and stopped in Gibeah, tribe of Benjamin. Nobody would take him in until an old man invited them to come in. While they were celebrating, this is 1922, Judges 1922. While they were celebrating, behold, the men of the city, certain worthless fellows, surrounded the house, pounding the door, and they spoke to the owner of the house, saying, bring out the man who came into your house, that we may have relations with him. Then the man of the owner of the house went out to them and said, no, my fellows, don't act so wickedly, since this man has come to my house. Don't do that. It would be very humiliating for me. Cultural no-no. So here's my virgin daughter and his concubine. Take them. Ravish them. Do whatever you wish, but do not commit such an act of folly against this man. Woo! So the nice man who took in the priest who was acting very poorly by having a concubine anyway, even his, their thinking is broken down, isn't it? Totally busted. But the men would not listen to them, so the man seized his concubine, brought her out to them, and they raped her and abused her all night long until morning, and let her go at the approach of dawn. The appetite of godless people never satisfied. The woman came, fell down, mourning, Master arose. Concubine was lying in the doorway. Get up and go. She couldn't. Dead. The thinking of the ungodly is profoundly confused. When he entered his house, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine and cut her in 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout the territory of Israel. See what happened here? See? Come on, Israel, rise up. 400,000 men go to the tribe of Benjamin, insisting they deliver the men of Gibeah who committed this crime. They wouldn't. So Israel kills tens of thousands of Benjaminites, burns down their cities, killing all the women and cattle. Only 600 men escaped. Vigilantism is a fruit of secular humanism. When it says who isn't God, look out, we'll hurt you if you don't give us what we want. Chapter 21, after slaughtering the tribe of Benjamin, the 11 tribes have remorse. And so we see another scene of foolishness to save the tribe of Benjamin, getting them wives that didn't belong. They took 400 virgins so that the tribe of Benjamin could endure. All of this was done because says who? Says we. And so we see war. We see a woman being abused and killed. We see a woman being chopped up into 12 bits and sent out to the nation of Israel because they were not obeying God. What's our response? How do we react to a culture that's saying, not God anymore, we say who? The answer is emphatic and it's simple. We repeat the refrain from the Old Testament that was used 700 times. Thus saith the Lord. That is our response. This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. This is kind of a cloak and dagger. Planned Parenthood has announced its latest project, a sprawling 18,000-square-foot mega clinic in southern Illinois. The facility is just 13 miles away from Missouri's last surviving abortion clinic and was built in complete secrecy in a bid to avoid protests and delays. You know how those pro-life people are. Earlier this year, Missouri State Legislature passed a fetal heartbeat law that effectively banned abortion from 8 weeks gestation. Despite the ban being blocked by a federal court last week, abortion in Missouri has been all but eradicated due to the increasingly restrictive laws. Good on them. In response, Planned Parenthood used a shell company to secretly construct a new facility in Illinois, ensuring that they left no public trace. Cloaky and daggery. Chief Medical Officer of the St. Louis region in southwest Missouri noted that the discreet nature of the project was vital in order to keep suppliers and contractors on the job. Previous buildings have been hampered by workers who didn't want to be involved in the building of an abortion clinic. The building is in Illinois because they have been extending abortion access with lawmakers passing the Reproductive Health Act, which classes access to abortion as a fundamental human right. What a world. As a result, and with many traveling across the state line to murder their baby, pro-life groups have called the state the abortion capital of the Midwest. Those behind the clinic, however, obviously have no intention of letting up on their mission to make murdering their child easily accessible to those living in the surrounding areas. A little good news out of Washington, where Republican lawmakers are pushing a bill that would require states to disclose the number of babies born after failed abortions. Republican Senators Joni Ernst of Iowa and Tom Cotton of Arkansas have sponsored the Ensuring Accurate and Complete Abortion Data Reporting Act of 2019. Only a few states report cases where babies are born alive during abortions, Cotton said in a tweet. We know about dozens of cases already. How many don't we know about? Previously, Republican lawmakers have tried to push Democrats to support the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which attempts to force doctors to provide medical care to babies who survive abortion attempts. Lawmakers have thus far refused to hear debate or to vote on that bill. 70 times they've refused. According to FaithWire.com, Democrats argue that the bill is unneeded because abortion attempts are rarely unsuccessful. But Senator Ernst says she believes people have the right to know the complete data, saying America's main source of abortion data comes from a biased think tank that only collects information on a voluntary basis. That's unacceptable. Why wouldn't we want the most reliable and complete data possible surrounding such an important issue? A South Carolina Republican Representative Ralph Norman has co-sponsored a companion bill in the House agreeing Americans need to know the truth. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Vercanis.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Man proclaims, says us, we respond, thus saith the Lord. This is Wretched Radio. As the world continues to move further and further away from obeying God and His Word, you can anticipate more insanity, more corrupt behavior, even perhaps exceeding the wickedness we see in the book of Judges, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What's going on? The world is saying, forget God. We're going to decide what is right in our own eyes. What is the Christian response? The same response that the prophets of the Old Testament had, the same response the church has always had. No. Thus saith the Lord. We proclaim God and His Word without shame, without embarrassment, without equivocation, and might I suggest to you, we thunder it and actually proclaim it and quit apologizing for it. Let me give you an example. Pastor Adam Tyson, pastoring a church out in Los Angeles, California, is a master's seminary grad. He has been invited to preach at the Kanye West Sunday services. That's right. Kanye West, who's claiming to be a born-again Christian. We sure hope that is true. We wait and watch to see what sort of fruit that bears. However, he's invited this fellow to preach at his Sunday gatherings. Would like to share with you a snippet of that, because what caught me about this young man's preaching is he was proclaiming it forcefully, giving it some And I think that's exactly the way that we need to be proclaiming God's word today.
And what we need today more than anything else is to see God. We need to see Him for who He really is. There's a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Isaiah who saw God. And when he saw God, everything changed for him. And today, my short message to you is this: if you've ever really seen God, then you'll see these three things. Three things will happen to you if you've ever really seen the God of the Bible. Number one, you will recognize that God is holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. You see, Isaiah had his trust sometimes in the nation of Israel, and when Uzziah died, he needed a fresh touch from God. And he had a vision of seeing God in the temple. And it says the train of His robe filled the temple. Now, I've been told that the train of a wedding dress, for example, that the longer the train is, the more majestic the gown. Lady Diana had on a wedding dress with a train that was about 25 feet long. Another Queen of England had on a wedding dress with a train that went from the altar of the church all the way to the back doors of the church. This is a picture of God, in a sense, that had a train and His robe filled the temple. How majestic is our God? How beautiful is our God? Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. The seraphim in the Bible are angels, a special class of angels literally called the burning ones. And they were so amazed to be in the presence of God that with two wings they had to cover their face. They couldn't look upon the glory of God. And with two wings they covered their feet, a sign of humility. And with two wings they flew, a sign of service. And they stood there, and one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now these angels could have said, they could have said, God is love, love, love. And they would have been right. They could have said, God is powerful, powerful, powerful. And they would have been right. But what did they say? They said, he's holy. Holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's no one like him. There's no one like him.
Might I suggest you and I bring that same force to proclaiming God's word?
And I believe that as a city, as a church, as a nation, we need to remember the holiness of God. And just as Isaiah saw him in the temple, it says, the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Let me ask you today, have you seen God? Because if you've seen God, you will realize that our God, Creator God, a covenant-making God, he is holy. When's the last time you got on your face before God and just say, God, I can't even look at you? When's the last time you fell on your knees before God and say, God, you're nothing like me. You're so holy. You're so beyond me. You're so different than me. I want to worship you. You're a holy God. If you've ever seen God, the God of the Bible, you will recognize he is holy. It's the second thing that will happen if you've ever seen God. Number one, he is holy. The second thing that will happen to you if you've ever really seen God is that you will realize that you and I are sinners. He's a holy God. You and I are sinners. Isaiah said this, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, we're not God. We're not like God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
No apologizing there. No, hey, I know this is a hard word. You know, we all have boo-boos. Don't we? Come on, we're messy people. Living messy lives, aren't we? God understands. He's just cuckoo crazy about us. No, he's holy. And when you see him rightly, you see yourself in truth that you fall so far short that you should be justly damned. That is preaching the word. That is proclaiming, thus saith the Lord. Is the noose tightening on Christians in Western civilization? Well, if it's not, they're certainly putting together the noose. And they would love to kick God off of his throne. And anybody who reminds them that it is the Lord who reigns, and we're confronted with a decision, how are we going to respond? I still think that there is a place and a time for apologetics. It has its role, but it sits at the feet of thus saith the Lord. We need to be proclaiming to the judges in Great Britain who says that the Bible is no longer compatible with human dignity, specifically in regard to people who are confused about their gender. We're not compatible with society anymore. Let me tell you what God says, judges. Let me tell you how you got your position. It was granted to you by God, who gives you a piece of sand of his authority. And you, judge, are going to stand before the supreme judge of the universe. And you're going to give an account not just for your dopey rulings, but for your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your actions. And God will crush you. That's our message to the world. And it's not because we're angry about things. It is because our God is indeed what Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. He's holy, holy, holy. And it is an act of love to proclaim the word of God to them forcefully, to pull them up straight, to get their attention. You don't know with whom you are dealing. This is the Lord of hosts. He is the God with whom you must do. And this day he offers you terms of peace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and bring you to your knees with an iron rod, because he most certainly will, if you do not respond to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ by humbling yourself, repenting, and putting your trust in him and him alone, because he has demonstrated his love by dying for you while you were yet telling the world the Bible isn't compatible with human dignity. Are we angry? No. Are we apologizing for the Bible anymore? I don't think we ever should have been. Instead, we need to be proclaiming it loudly and forcefully. Thus saith the Lord. That is our message. This is Wretched Radio. Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International, for decades, delivering Bibles to believers. Believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsen, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history.
70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Do is push a button. That's my job, and I fail at that. This is Wretched Radio. Have we arrived at the bottom of the barrel? You be the judge. Tony, are you prepared to play your role as the federal head of the tens and tens of people who are listening to this here Wretched Radio program?
Certainly.
All righty then. Here's what we are going to do. This is a very, very, very important decision that you're about to make, because we are going to play a round of Are we at the bottom of the barrel yet? No. How close are we to the bottom of the barrel? Let's do that. Oh, how close are we to the bottom of the barrel? Have we arrived at the bottom of the barrel? Friel, we get the idea already.
Story, the bottom of the barrel thing.
Number one.
All right.
Abortion clinic is offering mothers the opportunity to embrace their deceased baby. From the Federalist, Maryland, an abortion clinic offers mothers the opportunity to cuddle with their deceased, quote, baby when the abortion is over. This is from a brochure. Page 7. You will read as follows. Remembrances and special requests. Many patients request a remembrance of their baby. Stop. Baby. What are they calling it? This is a blob of tissue we're dealing with. This isn't a baby. And why don't dermatologists have remembrances and special requests for mole removal? You ever been given that opportunity? If you'd like to spend some time with your removed mole, the blob of tissue, to cuddle with it, we understand the grieving process, because this is a personal decision that should be made between you and your God with your doctor. You don't get that at the dermatology clinic. Why would they be offering it if their values were consistent? Claiming it's nothing but a blob of tissues, because they know better. Many patients request a remembrance of their baby to take home with them. The following lists items and services that some of our patients have found helpful in their emotional recovery. What? Do they offer psychologists at the dermatology office? I didn't know that they did that. Why do they do this at the abortion clinic? Oh, it's because they know it's a human being. Sorry. You may want to consider a token of the precious time with you and your baby that you had together. Oh. I don't want to jump the gun on this, but if we aren't at the bottom of the barrel, we're knock, knock, knocking on the door.
Oh,
services
don't say that.
After
whenever
your delivery.
Whenever you say that, they start digging at the bottom.
Viewing your baby after the delivery. Holding your baby. This is their word. Your baby. Photographs of your baby. Funeral arrangements. Referral. We don't do that for moles. Footprints. Spiritual and ceremonial accommodations. And a remembrance certificate. That would be story.
Wait. Well,
number
hold.
One. Yep.
So it's a glob of tissue when you kill it.
Yes, sir.
But after you've killed the baby, then it's a baby.
I think that's the way the game is being played. I'm not exactly sure. Don't expect consistency in the worldview of the unbeliever.
Apparently not.
It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to harmonize. There needs to be nothing elegant about their worldview philosophy. It can be a total train wreck, because it is, and it's okay. Why? Says me. I'm writing these rules as I go. Forget God. Forget his morals. Forget his values. I'm going to do it my way. Story number two, Mattel's got a brand new doll. Won't surprise you. It's a doll for everyone. Please meet Mattel's gender-neutral doll. Forget sissified Ken. Forget masculine Barbie. This doll can be a boy, a girl, neither or both. The world's first gender-neutral doll. There you have it right there. That would be story number two, Tony. Gender-neutral doll. Get them young is what I say. You know, I'm so glad that the world has tagged us Christians on indoctrinating our children, and how awful that is. It's so nice to see that they never try to do the same thing, isn't it? Are somebody's pants on fire? I don't think they're being consistent. They harangue us. How dare you try to indoctrinate your children? And then they applaud that poor 14-year-old girl who went to the United Nations, who scolded the adults in the room. It's pretty tough to defend the UN. But this 14-year-old girl basically yelling at the United Nations, the adults, shame on you! Shame on you! The world's going to be dead in 2 weeks because of global warming. Get with the program, you knuckleheads. She's not indoctrinated. No, she came to those conclusions all by herself. No parents were involved in teaching her those things. No, nobody in academia taught her that we're about to destroy the planet. No, there's no indoctrination going on behalf of the pagans. They would never do such a thing after telling us to not do that ourselves. I'm telling you, there was another in Great Britain. They're trying to teach, this is part of the curriculum in the British schools, that there's 100 genders. Why? Says me. God doesn't define my gender. He's not the one who makes the determination by giving me body parts. I decide. I don't care what it looks like on the outside, what I think about on the inside. That's what's important here. I'm telling you, just wait until this goes the next step. When you not only can identify your own gender, but when you can identify the gender of others. And you know what the world's going to do? Okay, sounds good. All right. You want to call me a girl and I'm a boy. That's okay, because that's, I guess, the way we think now.
No, Todd,
I hate God so much.
Because that's all. Care. It's all about autonomy, and no one can say anything about anyone else.
That's what I'm saying with the whole program.
I think it will end with the destruction of language before it ends with people being able to gender other people.
I think that's what's happening is language is being corrupted, because if symbols don't have any meanings whatsoever, then there is no meaning whatsoever. That is what is at play here. But I think that we need to have this in view as we look at a world that is making these decisions. We're giving kids gender-neutral dolls. We're indoctrinating them that there's 100 different genders. We give them drugs that we're giving to people for the sake of chemical castration. We're giving this to children so that they can go along with the delusion or the fantasy that's in their brain that they're an opposite gender. How can you deny your gender? That is a piece of cake once you've denied the existence of God. I'm telling you, that is the single most simple thing to get. And yet, most people reject it. I mean, just from observing people, society, the people that I witness to, if God does not intervene, there ain't nobody going to get saved. Nobody. We are just left to ourselves. We all hate God. And we deny and reject the most obvious thing. All right, I've got a book here. There. This is a book. All right, it is 250 some pages long. On the cover, it says it was written by Edward T. Welch. Now, the inside, it's all completely organized. There's chapter breaks. The sentences all make sense. I can take in the information, but Ed Welch didn't write it. This was just a chemical explosion that happened over time, and you go, that's just bonkers. No. That is the level of denial that one must have to deny the existence of God. It is the simplest thing to get. There's nothing, forget object permanence. Getting that, that's easy. That's easy. Okay, the thing reappears from behind mom's back. Okay, you learn that. That's pretty easy to get something like. Keep dropping stuff. Gravity. Oh, there's some sort of force there that keeps everything dropping in a certain direction. That's easy. They're like the Pythagorean theorem compared to God's existence by looking at creation. That's how obvious it is that God exists. It's more obvious than gravity. So to reject that, to deny that, to suppress that truth and unrighteousness, to deny gender, piece of cake. Piece of cake by comparison. Number three, Chick-fil-A is ideologically opposed to my existence. This is from thestar.com. This past weekend, I saw something that made me unexpectedly queasy. A young woman slurping soda out of a Chick-fil-A cup. Chick-fil-A is an anti-LGBTQ2 organization. Not just because their founder publicly opposed same-sex marriage. He believed in a biblical definition of marriage. which doesn't exist, but because company profits are donated to charities that oppress and marginalize queer people, especially queer youth. Buy a meal from them, and they'll use your money to increase the suffering of queer kids, writes the columnist. Chick-fil-A released a poison into this city that tells queer people we're less welcome here. We're less safe. That is story number three. Story number four. This one may surprise you. Military, you know what? Tony, I think we've got enough. We'll leave it at three because your mouth is agape. Simply.
My brain is now turned to mush.
Story number one, if you recall, yeah. Are we at the bottom of the barrel? The abortion clinic that allows mothers to embrace and cuddle their deceased baby. Story number two, Mattel's got a gender-neutral doll. Story number three, Chick-fil-A is ideologically opposed to my existence. Which story is closest to the bottom of the barrel? Go.
The gender-neutral doll. Wait, cuddling your baby that you murdered is pretty low. Mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A cup? Yes. I definitely go with
once again,
yes.
Wrapped up like a Christmas present. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.